Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk, and I'm with Captain Suna Blinkenberg of the Stat Amsterdam. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Karen, and nice to be here.
Well, certainly when your ship came into the harbor, everybody knew about it. Tell us a little about the stats of your ship.
Our ship is 250 foot long. We got three fully rigged masts, so that means three masts with yards on all of them, the ones that go horizontally. We have 31 sails, so that means we have 16 square sails, and then we have, now I just need to quick math, 15 stay sails between the masts. She's built in 2000, she's a steel hull, all aluminum rigging, so she's modern in that sense, but she's built to the specs of the old T-clippers that used to race to Asia to get the first loads of tea and sail at home. And since tea is a fairly light cargo, she's built for speed and not for carrying huge weights. So she goes quite fast.
Well, and I think you said something along 17 to 19 knots at the top.
That's true. Sailing last year from Boston to the Azores, we had a good run, 8 days to the Azores, where we did up to 17 knots consistently. Some crew say they've seen her peak down a wave at 19, but I looked at the consistent speed and we kept it up at 17 knots for some time.
Now, this particular ship, when it was built in cooperation with the city of Amsterdam, because of course sailors in Holland like to sail, and you have some marvelous events there. Tell us its history.
In the Netherlands, they really like to sail, and also in Amsterdam. And Amsterdam has a huge event every fifth year called the Sail Amsterdam, where thousands of boats come, but like hundreds of the big ones. And Amsterdam didn't really have one in this class. In the tall ship community, they call them a class A ship. So they really wanted that because, they wanted to be a part of the club now that they were hosting one of the best tall ship events there is. And then on the other hand, there was this local company in Amsterdam called Randstad. It's an HR company working with talent and people. It's worldwide. And then back in the 90s, he wanted to have a boat for his company that they could take around the world and do promotions with. And the Amsterdam would like to have a sail training vessel. And then they got together, and Mr. Goldsmiten, the owner of the company, agreed to chip in to have the ship built. So they made a co-op and also included unemployed people back in the 90s. So they started building in 97, and then 3 years later, in 2000, she was launched. So for the past almost 24 years, we've been sailing around to all of the ports where Randstad and the municipality of Amsterdam have friendship cities and branches of the company and hosted events on their behalf. And then, of course, all the trips in between, anyone can join. So if you are adventurous and you want to go sailing, then you can jump in our webpage and look it up. I think where we are slightly distinguished from other tall ships is that we are not a sail training ship per se. We are a fully registered passenger ship, so you sign on as a passenger with the comfort and luxury as a passenger would normally have, but you have the opportunity of joining, sailing, steering the ship, climbing the mast, setting the sails, and all this fun stuff. Or you can sit and read your book and sip chilled white wine while we race at 17 knots.
We are sitting on the Stad Amsterdam right now. We're hearing all the background noise of the crew and the ship and everything, which is it's a quite an impressive ship. I know that in March of 2019, I was coming in from a trip on my 37-foot sailboat under the Golden Gate Bridge, and I saw this beautiful ship coming in full sail, all the sails out and the flag of the Netherlands flying behind, and took pictures and thought, you know, that is a beautiful ship. I'm going to find out a little more about that. Didn't know I would be here talking to you today, but having an opportunity to be on your ship is certainly a pleasure. You are going to be circumnavigating. Please tell us where you started and where you will be going.
Yeah, so our owners, in the wake of COVID, wanted to do something to kind of celebrate that now we can visit each other again and reconnect. So with the keyword reconnecting, they asked us to go on a world voyage. Our main route that we normally do is the east coast of the US in the early spring, and then we go to the mid in the summertime, and Northern Europe in the fall, and then we go back to the Caribbean for the winter, and then we repeat that. But now we are heading out on a world voyage with the keyword of connecting and reconnecting people around the world. So with our events in the port and our sails in between, we will offer the opportunity of meeting old friends and new friends and partners and all this. So our journey started in August in Amsterdam. And from there we have visited Belgium and London, sailed down to Portugal, did some preparations there before we went to the Canary Islands and sailed across the Atlantic. We did our cruising season in the Caribbean, and then we went to Colombia, picked up some guests, and then sailed through the Panama Canal. And then we beat the way up the west coast to get to San Francisco. It's a bit challenging because it's quite a lot against the wind. And the normal route would be go to Hawaii and then come back in. We're going to run the other way around, so we're going to go to San Francisco and then go to Hawaii. So yeah, we ended up sailing 3,900 miles up here, a bit longer than the direct distance, and we under sail we did 1,000 miles. So yeah, a decent 25% up the coast was pretty good for a ship like this. I mean, these kind of ships doesn't really go up to wind, up weather, so 25% was good.
How high do you point?
Yeah, you can say on a good day in the Mediterranean where the water is flat and there's really a lot of wind, we can effectively go a good 55 degrees to the wind. But you can say on ocean passages, I would normally say 65 plus minus, depending on the sea state. The sea state is really what can slow us down. But you can say from San Fran, we are lucky that then now we're going to start following the trade winds. So it's going to be a really nice sail down to Honolulu. And then from Honolulu we go to the Bay of Tokyo Bay, where we're going to visit Tokyo and Yokohama. And then we stop in Kobe before we leave Japan and go to China. And we'll sail up the Yangtze River to Shanghai, spend some time in Shanghai doing events, and then go to Hong Kong and do some events there. And then we're going to go all the way down to Sydney. We're going to stop in Sorong in Indonesia on the way to get some fresh provision. But so it's going to be Hong Kong, Sorong, and then Sydney, Brisbane. And then we're going to go back up to Bali and then Singapore. And then we're going to go to India, where we're going to visit Chennai and Mumbai before we aim for Cape Town. And on the way to Cape Town, we're going to stop in the Seychelles and Mauritius. And after Cape Town, we're back in our known waters in the Atlantic. So we're going to go to most likely Recife in Brazil, and then head up to the Caribbean to be ready for our cruising season in April 25. And then we'll be back on the US East Coast in May 25, visiting Fort Lauderdale, New York, Baltimore, and Boston, and then head home for to Amsterdam, because Sail Amsterdam, the event I mentioned before, is going to be August 25. So we're going to have our big celebration of the world tour on August 25 in Amsterdam. It's going to be an amazing party.
This is Karen Lyle on Sports Byline with SailSportTalk.com, listening to my recent interview aboard the tall ship Stat Amsterdam that just arrived in the San Francisco Bay.
Tell us a little bit about your background as a captain. How did you become a captain, and how many ships have you been a captain for?
Yeah, so I grew up with my dad. Actually, had a schooner back in the 80s and 90s, and he also sailed to the Caribbean in the wintertime. So I kind of knew about this sailing ships. I'm actually a Danish, come from Denmark. I'm a Danish citizen, and they have two training ships that still educate for the merchant navy. So I thought before I go to uni, I just wanted to go traveling. So I went on. I did the course on the training ship, because then I knew I could travel the world like our crew does here, all our crew is professional, but then I could travel the world while being paid. And I thought that was a great opportunity. So I started as a deckhand, and then after 4 years, I thought maybe I'll do some mate's ticket so I can be more in charge of what's happening. And then I did that. And then after 14 years, I was suddenly captain on a great Norwegian tall ship called the Sørlandet. So I skippered of the tall ships, the Sørlandet from Norway and the Statoil Lehmkuhl from Norway. And then I joined this nice company in the beginning of 23. So three of the larger tall ships I have captained.
You mentioned that passengers can come on this ship, and this is one of the unusual factors for this particular tall ship, because most tall ships are training ships, and you don't actually get any luxury or treatment. You're working your way through. But this is something where people actually have crew that are stationed for them. Can you tell us a little bit about the amenities and hospitality?
I can. I mean, we have, so in a micro scale, we are organized kind of like a cruise ship. So we have our deck department that take care and can take care of all the sailing. So they set the sails and steer the boat and do everything on deck. Then we have a technical team that takes care of all the stuff you don't actually see, so you never really see them. But we have a technical team that take care of our, we have a lot of systems, the water makers, the our sewage treatment plant, because we also look a lot of sustainability, so we are always investing in new technology to pollute less. Air condition, yeah, everything, coffee machines, and there's a really long list of stuff that goes into a ship like this. And then we have a hospitality department that also on the adventure cruises, we have a housekeeper that helps you with your cabin. We have service 24 hours a day. Your cabin is equipped kind of like a small hotel room. You know, you have a little phone you can call if you need something, or you have your own bathroom and your bed down there. And then all the meals, if we are in the tropics, we try to serve meals on deck. Otherwise, we're here in our long room that comfortably sit, I believe, around 65. It's a very classic long room. We call it the long room, but it's a lot of brass and nice hardwood and darkwood. And that's where we take in our meals. Very enjoyable, and we have various guests that come on board for just to enjoy the ride, and some really wants to be engaged.
Great. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to be a guest on your ship today and having the opportunity to interview you and share this with our many, many listeners across the world.
Thank you, Karen.